time for a podcast already?
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
I didn't know that.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to another episode of the Garlic Jar Podcast Show. We are coming at you tonight with episode 46, Get Over Here. Tonight, as always, I have with me my co-hosts Matt and Zach.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, guys?
And we are coming together tonight to talk about some pretty awesome things that happened this week in pop culture.
Oh, definitely.
We had, you know, our epic conclusion of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes.
And Mortal Kombat came out on HBO Max and released in theaters.
And you know what's funny about this? Both Falcon and Winter Soldier and Mortal Kombat, I watched the same exact night.
So yeah, like, I didn't really give you a choice on that one.
Well, no, you know what? I kind of wanted to wait because it was like, you know what? Coming into this night, I wanted something to do. I wanted to unwind, enjoy myself. And I said, you know what? I want the best of both worlds. I want Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I want Mortal Kombat, you know? So it was cool. It was really, really cool.
And like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, I'm really digging the, you know, HBO Max loads.
I am too. No, I mean, shout outs and kudos. I mean, I'm really enjoying the content. You know, the movie media. I mean, I never explored the TV shows yet or not, I shouldn't even say TV shows.
Yeah, right? You've seen a lot of stuff on HBO.
Well, right. I mean, if going back in the day, like Oz and everything like that, but like The Sopranos and stuff. But I mean, like, I just love the media that they're loading up. I do. I think it's great.
You watched the Nicole Kidman show.
Yep, I did.
What was it? The Undoing?
Yep.
Yeah. There's a new one on there that I'm going to watch. It's got Kate Winslet in it, but it's another, like, murder mystery. So it's got my name written all over that.
Well, you know what? We should make that a trio here where we should all watch that.
We could. Really should. Or if you guys want to watch The Flight Attendant, because I've talked about that a little bit before, but I know you guys didn't watch it. That was awesome, too.
Was that a movie or a series?
A series. It's Kaylee Cuoco from The Big Bang Theory. It's okay. Her next show. It was really good.
Is it comedy, drama?
Both.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Her character's kind of funny. She's like a crazy alcoholic and like some crazy shit happens to her.
Oh, God.
While she's being a flight attendant, so like it's like drama. There's murder, and it's insane.
Okay, all right, so I dig it.
I definitely recommend watching that.
Okay, I dig it definitely.
So yeah, the flight attendant. Full speed ahead with HBO Max, there, friends. And I know like after this year that instant watch feature is going away, but that's all right. The world will probably be back to normal.
Now, what do you mean by that? Like, the watch feature?
The instant watch? So, like...
Yeah, could you explain that to everybody? Like...
Yeah, it premieres in theaters and goes to HBO Max for a month.
Oh, okay. All right, I gotcha.
Like, the other movies that we've seen, like, that have followed in the suit are, you know, Wonder Woman 1984. Mm-hmm. We just watched Godzilla vs. Kong, Mortal Kombat.
Right.
So
these movies will go to theater... Right,
yes.
First, and then...
Well, no, the same day. So they come out on the same day in theaters and on HBO Max.
Oh,
so, like,
perfect.
When we watched it on Friday was the first day that it was in theaters for Mortal Kombat.
So Friday release of anything that's awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
So, and if you, like, stay up until, like, 3 a.m., it's, like, you know, kind of like a midnight premiere, like, back in the old days.
I know, right? I miss those days.
Mm-hmm.
One day, it'll come back to normal.
I don't know, because then, like, you know, like, they started getting early and earlier. Like, I think when I went to see Endgame, it was, what, a 6 or 7 o'clock start time?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Thursday?
I think that's just because it was a longer movie, though. Like, that was a 3-hour movie.
But they started rolling it back. So, like, it was, like, midnight premieres, and then it was, like, a 10 p.m. And then there was, like, an 8 o'clock start. But, like, I think my ticket for Endgame started at, like, 6:10 or, like, 7:10. It was the first showing.
Well, I remember with Endgame, I mean, we didn't get out of there until, like, because I remember we went to, like, Permandy Brothers to have, like,
yeah, you know. You saw the showing that was after mine. So, like, remember Katie and I went, remember? And we went to the Scranton Theater?
Right.
Yeah. So we had, like, the first showing
that
they were offering. I think you guys were a little bit later because you went to Dixon, right?
Yep. Yeah. Which was awesome. I mean, I still love that moment, you know? But yeah, I mean, hey, I mean, we all got to catch up with this weekend. Zach got to see it in the theater environment. Jenna and
Zach still owes me a popcorn.
He does. Okay. He owes you some movie quality popcorn. Definitely.
That's like one thing that I like super miss from the pandemic is.
Going I was to honestly going to get you a bag of their to go popcorn, but they were all out.
Do they really? They have that.
Yeah.
They have. Yeah. Get out! I didn't know they had to go.
So
popcorn.
Like when you first walk into Cinemark, like in the main lobby there, like right in front of the concession stands, there's a little table that says you can get popcorn to go. It's $10 a bag.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Like, see, I would always get, like, the large tub, and then, like, when you're on your way out, you ask them for, like, one of, like, the hot dog wrappers, and they, like, tape it for you, and then it's a cover to take home.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I like to always...
Cinemark for the win.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my theater. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Dixon IMAX.
Well, hey, you know, everybody has their preference. Everybody likes their theaters, their comfort zones, you know? And I don't judge against that, because you know what, I actually did like going up to the Cinemark at one point. I'm really trying to think what the last movie was that I actually saw up at the Cinemark. I really can't even tell you that. I'd have to think about that. Really, I would. I might have the ticket stubs here to shuffle through, but I just can't think about it right now.
Okay. That's all right.
But
just an FYI, I'm playing our favorite Age of the Republic map, so if a few donations get made in the next 10 minutes, that's why.
Oh, okay. All right. Zach's gaming. He's podcasting.
Wait, what's our favorite one?
And when I say favorite, I mean sarcastic favorite.
Ooh. Is it Naboo?
As in Geonosis.
Oh, yeah, that one's
worse. Oh, the Trip of Hive. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
We still have to do that episode.
Yeah, we really do. We got to play it out, and we got to, like, you know, record our reactions, and yeah, just have a free for all. You know, that'd be
that's
fun.
That's a very high donation.
Oh yeah, there'll be a lot of fucks thrown around. You know.
Yep.
But you know what? I like to always start this now because you know we're unwinding. It's Sunday night here. We're you know, this is kind of not our norm because usually we're like a Friday or a Saturday type person. Yeah. Coming into a podcast, but now it's Sunday night, and hey, you know what? It's still going to tell us that, hey, the podcast episode's going to come out early in the week, but anyway, we're really just winding around the corners here of ending the weekend, so real quick, guys, what are you munching on? What are you drinking?
Nothing. Iced tea.
Okay, iced tea. All right.
Iced tea. Boring.
Okay, well, I got my, my faithful, my beer and my whiskey here, so, you know, drinking responsibly.
Okay. No repeats of Shark Week?
No repeats of Shark Week. I do not foresee that coming. If it does, you know, make sure we mute me out.
Time out, yep.
Time out.
That'll be the corner mat.
D2, the penalty box. Zach, how about you? Are you indulging in any good libations right now or no?
I am not drinking anything, but I'm eating Krispy Kreme popcorn bites.
Oh, man, you were talking about these left and right all week.
Yeah, I'm already almost through a full bag.
It's like, I gotta get up there and get myself a couple bags. I think my wife would love them.
He offered.
You do.
Yeah, he did. He did offer. But I think Jen, I agree with you. I think my wife would love these. Being that she's such a Krispy Kreme fanatic, she loves the donuts and stuff like that. Yeah. And, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I thought at first when you were talking about the popcorn, like, is it sticky? Because, like, you know how, like, sometimes you get caramel popcorn and sometimes it's so sticky to your fingers. It's like, okay, it's very sugary. It's very glazed. But more so when you were talking about that popcorn, it was like what? It was like waxy. It was kind of like that glazed cover just kind of dried over it, right?
Yeah, it was literally just like a dried glazed cover. No, not sticky, nothing.
That's pretty cool. That's good. Well, I mean, other than that, though, I mean, anything going on during the week? Anything that we could recap? Like, what? Anything good?
Well, the trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings came out. I don't know if you caught that yet.
No, I didn't see that. I did not. No? Okay.
I don't know. I think it looks great. Like, and we finally get, like, I don't know if everybody remembers from, like, Iron Man 3, but we're finally getting, like, the real Mandarin.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I'm excited. Well,
I'm kind of going to go on the local side here, you know, our Scrantonian roots, if you don't mind me, just taking like a couple minutes here. But real quick, I just want to, first off, Sunday Times last week, they posted an article in the paper. It's under the perspective part. And I thought this was awesome because, you know, we're all avid pet lovers. We love our pets. You know, our pets are our companions. And Chris Kelly of the Tribune, you know, I do have to share this with you guys because I thought this was like, this was heartfelt. And honestly, my father was the one that said, Matt, you got to read this. Like, this was just, it was such a, you know, just a great article to read. And, you know, Chris Kelly was talking about, you know, this cat that he had. And, you know, it was like a compassionate listener. He loved this cat so much. It was his buddy. And, you know, and the article is Last Rites with Polly Walnuts because he called his cat Polly. And, you know, I guess Walnuts was just kind of like a nickname, Polly Walnuts. And, you know, it just became his constant companion. When he was writing stuff, the cat would be in the room and all this stuff. And unfortunately, the cat got ill. It died of cancer. And, you know, Chris was writing this article. And I really do. I feel home for that because it's like, you know, when you lose a pet, you know, that is, it's like losing a family member. But I just love how he talked about, you know, the cat. It's something that you don't find in the Sunday Times. It's not just like the regular where it's like, oh, okay, well, this manhole cover outbursted in Dixon City. And, oh, God, you know, like this and this and this. It was just nice to kind of read like the common person, you know, being himself, being adaptive, you know, just talking about his pet. And, you know, he kind of wrote a goodbye to a trusted companion. It was a great listener and a best friend. And if anybody didn't catch this, just check out the Sunday Times. It was actually in the April 8th, or no, I'm sorry, not April 8th, April 18th. So that would have been last weekend. So if anybody's reading this, I mean, obviously, just kind of go back to that in the archives. You could look up that, obviously, online. But no, I loved it. I thought it was a very compelling article. Just talking about our pets, how we love them and everything like that. They're our companions. And Jen, I mean, my God, for how many times, you know, we're on microphone feed, whether we're playing games and stuff like that, we hear the cats scratching at the doors, the dogs barking, you know, I mean, they're our babies, you know, they really are. But I really, yeah, this
usually you hear Moe's snoring in the background.
Oh my God. That little, oh my God, you know? And it was so nice to actually read something, you know, and I really want to just give a shout out there. You know, if Chris Kelly actually ever listens to our podcast, you know, thanks for writing such a great article. I mean, it was really down to earth. It really kind of just put us into, you know, that home feeling of, you know, knowing our companions, our pets. You know, they're just like family and we understand your pain. I'm very sorry to hear about your loss with your cat. I kind of got that feeling because when I read this article, I thought about, you know, when living at home with my parents, doing my schoolwork, my Leo would lay on the bed and, you know, he'd be there. And I kind of thought about that where it was like, okay, it's company, because I used to religiously play horror movies in the background, you know, whether it be like Halloween, you know, Freddy Krueger, you know, with the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. Friday the 13th with Jason Voorhees. I always used to play horror movies in the background just to kind of relax me and stuff. I know that's kind of weird, but like, I just love the horror genre that I used to play those movies. And my cat would be with me all the time when I was writing. And I kind of felt like that was, you know, very similar. But anyway, the only other thing that I have here, I'm going to do a quick beer review if you guys don't mind me, indulging in this. Sure. I got a six pack from my brother. And I'm gonna be kind. I'm gonna be very nice about this review, Don. If you don't mind, you know, I'm gonna let them know what you gave me. It's called Monopolio. It's in honor of a traditional Mexican beer, but from what I read up on the review, it's not a imported beer. It's actually a local beer in our area here in Pittston, PA. And actually, it actually has a special agreement in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. How about that? And when I think of Pawtucket, I think of baseball, minor league baseball. Jen, you know what I'm thinking of? Pawtucket what?
The Paw Sox, but are they still up and running?
I don't think they're Pawtucket anymore, right? I think they actually just call themselves the blank Red Sox now, right?
No, but like, was that one of the minor league teams that got clipped? I don't remember if that was or not.
Yeah, I want to say that was. But I want to do a quick little beer review, if you guys don't mind. Here, I'm going to do a little... Oh, there it is. Yep, that happened. Okay, so... Oh, yeah, nice and cold. Smells good. Okay, I'm going to take a little sip here. Donnie, this is for you.
Yeah, Matt, they got clipped. They're not a league anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, 1970 to 2020. I just looked it up. I thought that was one of them to go, and I was surprised by it when I read that last year.
Okay, hang on. I have to take a second sip of this.
Just one geonosis.
Okay.
No, we can talk about that later. We can talk about that later.
All right, real quick. I am not a fan. This literally tastes like a cheap version of Modelo. I'm sorry. Sorry to bust the bubble there, but it does get a bad beer review for me. I give this a 2.25 out of 5. I would not drink it again. Yeah, I'm going to put that down. I'm actually going to go back to my Mick Ultra. That was our little beer review there. Donnie, thanks for the six pack. I mean, I will drink it. I will not let beer go to waste, but it's called Monopolio. Not my cup of tea, but if you do like Modelo, you do like the Mexican style beers, you might like it, but I just think it's got more of a stronger taste of lager to it. They call it a clear lager, but I'm not getting that, taste. I mean, it kind of just, it's very herby. If that makes sense, for a lager. Yeah, sorry. But that is a Pittston brewery, Pittston brewed beer. And it's local. Again, maybe it's just my taste buds acting up. But anyway, Jen, now that I'm done with my little beer review and I'm done with my little taste test, I guess you could say, can you let us know what the agenda is here for the night is?
Yeah, so okay. Our major talking points are going to be the finale of Falcon and Winter Soldier, some awesome things that have also come from that finale, and we're going to do a Mortal Kombat review.
Beautiful. So we're at these two parts. It kind of seems like we're very repetitive, right? Like, Zach, Jen, right? We've been talking about these, like, week after week. And the only reason why we keep talking about them is because they're so relevant right now in pop culture talk. I mean, people are trying to get through it, you know?
Falcon and Winter Soldier is amazing. Like, what else would we talk
about?
Right.
And, you know, if you're in the Marvel mood and you are following up with Marvel, I mean, that's what you're watching right now. Unless you're kind of backtracking and you're still stuck to, you know, WandaVision. Well, after WandaVision, you're definitely going to want to watch Falcon and Winter Soldier. But, I will say that, you know, for both of these types of media, and I am saying types of media because we have streamed The Falcon and the Winter Soldier off of Disney Plus. We have streamed, and well, Zach has got to witness it in theaters, Mortal Kombat, off of, and me and Jen, we got to watch it off HBO Max. This was a fun-filled weekend. I really think that we, you know, we're all in connection here, you know? We're actually all caught up at the same point.
Yes, I made it a priority since, like, now, like, you know, I'm pretty much on cruise control until the end of the semester, so.
Yeah, you're like the hammer.
Studying for finals.
Yep, you're the hammer throw. Like, when it's like, when we need to watch something, we have got to do it. You know?
Yeah, 100%.
And no, I do. I love that. I love that initiative. I think we should have that more often, you know?
Yeah, well, just because, like, you know, Zach was going to see it in theaters on Saturday, so, like, I feel like it would have been, like, a wasted topic if we didn't go over Mortal Kombat this weekend.
Well, right, especially since we've been talking about it, too, in past episodes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, Jen, I'm going to let you take it away, because I love how you go right into things. I'm going to give you the choice. What do you want to start with? Do you want to go with the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, or do you want to go Mortal Kombat first?
Nah, I think we should do Mortal Kombat first, because I've got quite a bit on Falcon and Winter Soldier, so...
Okay.
Like, so, I feel like, I'm not sure how much you guys want to talk about, like, Mortal Kombat, because, like... The extent of my playing it in the video games, like, it was just kind of like, pick a character and let's fight. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know that there was, like, a whole, like, story to, like, the Mortal Kombat, like, competition. And so, like, when I was watching the movie, I was like, oh, there's, like, a story, I guess, that goes along with it.
Yep.
Yep. So, which, so, like, you guys would probably be more familiar with that than I would.
Yeah, no, my talk is probably going to be a little bit more lengthy just because of the fact that, like, it goes back to storyline, it goes back to the video game aspect. Even growing up, even with my neighbors living next door, go over there to watch them play it on their Sega Genesis, Sega Saturn, and I want you to start off, and then we'll kind of go right around the ring of how we've been introduced to Mortal Kombat in our pop culture days, you know?
Okay, so... I watched Mortal Kombat Friday when it came out, and I'll say this, it was a fun watch, like 100%, like it was a fun movie, but like, did it absolutely like blow me away? Was it the best thing I've ever seen? Absolutely not. Okay. I did really enjoy like the fatality fights, like all the gore in it. I did have a good time watching some of those deaths. That was quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the dynamic between like Sonya and Kano. Kano was such like an asshole. I just liked his character a lot.
Yep.
So
I loved a lot of the jokes he made.
Yeah. Yeah, he was fun.
That English prick. That bloody bloke.
Well, he's Australian.
Mine was like, mine was when he finally realized that he had laser coming out of his eye, and he was just like, yeah, it's better than fireballs, pussy.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yep.
Yeah, so
that was my favorite.
I like, my favorite parts were obviously, like, when you got to see the lady get saw. Obviously, guys, spoilers. Sorry, I didn't say this in the beginning. Spoilers. I'm sorry that we didn't start off with that. When the lady gets sawed in half, like she was like the bat lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the vampire lady. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know their names, so that's how I'm going to describe them. Mm-hmm. So like you literally get to see her like buzz sawed in half. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know what? I think for her character, you know, I thought about that. Like, when they introduced her, I thought maybe they were like, okay, I was thinking of a couple characters that she could have been. Like, was it Sindel? Was it No, she's just it's just a generic character.
No, she's not.
Nope.
Because I looked it up.
No, she had a name. She has a name. Yeah, she had a name.
But what I'm saying is, back to the video game days, you were not, I don't remember.
She's in there, because I literally Googled Mortal Kombat characters so I could look at their names. Hang on, I'll find it in 1 second.
Okay.
She was here.
Because I don't remember this one, on the Wall of Annihilation.
She's Natara.
Natara?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not a character that I'm really familiar with. And again, I'd like to actually go back into and guys, real quick, I'm referencing back, like when you hear me talk about like Mortal Kombat Annihilation, that was the game that was released by Sega. And what they did was they released a whole stockpile of every character that you could possibly imagine that you could play as in the Mortal Kombat realm. Like you had everybody. You could play as Shao Kahn, you could play as Shang Tsung. You could play as Liu Kang. You could play as Cyrax, Smoke, whoever. But, yeah, this one I was kind of having a hard time with because I couldn't figure out which character it was because they didn't reference her by name.
Who, Natara?
Yeah, I don't remember them reference her by name.
Yeah, he did. No, when she did. Entered, one and he's like holding his hand out to her, and he's like, Natara, the fierce Hunter, whatever he called her, and he's like, isn't she beautiful?
That's the only
time.
That's the only time they said their name. Yeah. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Kung Lao takes her down. That's the guy with the hat.
Rip Kung Lao.
Kung Lao? Great. Yeah, the guy with the hat.
Yeah, great character.
Rip him.
Great character.
Rest in peace.
Who
I'm
else?
Looking at like the a ranking of the fatalities, which I don't agree with some of them, but that's okay. So right there, like at the list that I'm looking at, it's called Hat Trick, the Kung Lao, which is when he slices Natara in half.
Mm-hmm.
Then number two is the revenge feature with Scorpion, which that was cool when he takes down Sub-Zero.
You know, I just did a quick Google search here, and the reason I would not know this is because it's not coming up as a character in the previous versions of Mortal Kombat video games. It looks like she came up in the appearance of Deadly Alliance, so this is a much, 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 much newer version of Mortal Kombat. So this is actually showing my age, because I have not seen this character, but no, you guys are right. She is a character of Mortal Kombat. Not the ones, obviously, that I'm aware of. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Yep.
I would only like choose like two players when I'd play Mortal Kombat, and it was either Sonya or Kitana.
Okay.
Those are like the only two I'd ever choose.
Sonya was badass. Sonya was always a badass character. Always.
Yeah, she had two fatalities in the movie.
Oh yeah.
When she took out Kano, put a gnome through his eye. And then the other one
spit on earlier in the movie.
Yes.
Might I add?
The other one I did like, when she, like, blasted her, like, you know, new powers through, like, that lady's abdomen, and you got to see, like, just, like, the spine cord. And I was like, wow, like, that's really sweet.
Melina.
Yeah.
Now, she was an original character. Yeah, she was an original character back in the early days of the Mortal Kombat days. Yeah. Because that was actually, they have proven that, I think they said that was an off-sister of Kitana. So, Kitana was the one with the fans, and Melina was the one with the size. So.
Okay.
But there was a connection there. And I think, actually, the origin is that they were Sindel's daughters, you know? Not that, I mean, that's going a little bit more deeper into the storylines, I guess. I agree. I mean, I love that. I thought that was a great fatality. I mean, I loved when freaking Sonya just, she regained, you know, Kano's dragon mark. She became a qualifier for Mortal Kombat. She was a strong point later, and I knew that was going to come. Like, somehow she was going to be a dragon mark. She had to be, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot diss Sonya Blade. And I think that actually adds up to something later, but I'll mention that when I get to my part. But yeah, what else? I mean, what else did you like, Jen? I mean, keep going. Like, did you have anything else to pick out about it? Like,
no, it was pretty much like the fatalities. Like, I really wish there was more story to it, I guess.
Okay.
Because, like, you know, like, Sonya and Jack show up and they're like, oh, yeah, we, like, noticed this thing and, hey, let's go find it. Well, how about you tell us about it? But then, like, immediately, like, the lizard dude came to, like, hurt them, so we didn't really get much backstory.
Well, I think that was equivalent to Reptile's character, because Reptile was able to take form of human, like in the ninja form, and Reptile as the creature form. So that's what I wanna at least put in that part. That creature form that we saw, that was Reptile, you know?
Okay.
Because there actually is a character called Reptile in Mortal Kombat. And one of his obviously famous moves and famous, I guess you could say, battle tactics is using acid, where, you know, he would spit it at you, you'd burn, it would melt skin off you, you know? Okay. And that was obviously showing because once he was trying to spit acid at you, it was, you know, dealing damage. It was melting, you know?
Great.
Yep. But yeah, no, I think that was pretty good. Anything else?
Yeah, just like, you know, like I said, I thought it was a fun watch, but like, you know what it kind of reminded me of? The World of Warcraft movie. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did. I wasn't a fan of it, though.
Yeah, like, so, like, to me, like, this is, like, the same thing, where it was just kind of like, eh, it's alright. I watched it. Like, I'm glad I watched it, but there's no, like, lasting impact for me.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad I watched it for the sakes of pop culture, you know?
Yeah. Which, okay. Like, I guess there's gonna be a trilogy, though.
I think I think that's what it's coming down to. Real quick, though, because we're actually hitting the 30-minute mark, why don't we take a quick break here? We'll reconvene. We'll bring back up Mortal Kombat so that Zach and I could kind of contribute and go over our reviews, and then we'll hit Falcon and Winter Soldier. But are you guys okay with that? Like, are we...
Yep.
Okay. So sit tight, lay back, get something to drink. If you have to go get those waterworks going, get them going. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back.
All right, guys, welcome back, and we are just going to continue rolling here with our Mortal Kombat conversation.
Yes, we are. Okay, so I'll go first, and then Zach could go next, I guess. Or Zach, do you want to go first, or?
You can take it.
So here's where it starts for me. I was introduced to Mortal Kombat back in the day with my brothers. You know, they had more of a fond memory, and they had more fond days of playing it on Sega Genesis before I did. So it was like the younger brother watching the older brothers playing it. You know, you kind of just adapted to it, and it's like, wow, this video game is really cool. Then we go over our neighbor's house. I'd watch Jamie play it, and he mastered all these fatalities. And I swear it was like an accomplishment. Like, it's like, I'm going to play as this character tonight. We got to make sure I get these fatalities done. But I think that was where my first introduction of Mortal Kombat came from, my brothers and my neighbors, you know, with Sega Genesis playing the games, the video games. And that's where I got a lot of respect out of it, where it was like, as I got older, I got to play those games and got more into it. But my thing about it too is that, you know, going into Mortal Kombat, being introduced to it at such an early age, you got to know a little bit of the storyline behind it. And the storyline does prove to what the movie was preaching. You know, it was a tournament of champions. A tournament of champions between Earth and the Outer World, you know? And of course, I mean, they don't reference Earth, but I it's called what, Jen? Were they referencing it as, like...
The Earth Realm.
It was the Earth Realm, right? Mm-hmm. And, of course, Outworld. And that was the thing. I mean, it was, you know, these common people with traits being, you know, combat fighters going up against some of the most, I mean, I don't want to say fictional, but like, what would you say? Characteristic type people. I mean, four arms and a ponytail like Goro, a freaking ventilated robot with big swords and everything like that. I don't know. But anyway, going on about it, that's where my origin of Mortal Kombat comes from, being that it was introduced at an early day. And of course, just knowing that storyline. But even when you go past that, I mean, there's a lot more, like the comics, the cartoons that came out, which were more of a mature audience to watch. I remember some of the mature audience cartoons were like HBO at midnight. There's actually a really good series there where it was like Sub-Zero and Scorpion. I don't know the name offhand, but Washkush, you would probably be able to know this. Jamie, Tom, you would probably know that. But that's the one thing I hated the most about this film, is that we did not get a very sturdy storyline. And I felt it was built up pretty good in the beginning with Scorpion's character. You know, I thought we were getting a good storyline going, but like once we got past that, like that early day intro, It was just rush to a fighter being discovered, a fighter going into combat, and then combat happening. I just would have liked more character development. I would have liked more around that. Especially when you introduce characters like Kung Lao, Liu Kang, Kano, and everything like that. We kind of got a little good background on Sonya Blade and Jax. I will say that. If any character development and backstory to that, they did reference that they were special forces, they had military background, and that is pivotal. That is absolutely important that those characters were traded to that and were referenced to it in the video games originally. But even like our main character, it kind of seemed like, you know, they could have did a little bit more backstory on him. Even with Melina, even with, I'm trying to think, Cabal would have been a good one to give backstory on, because all we knew that was, what, Kano was a traitor to him. Kano, you know, he knew Kano from a previous experience, and he thought, being that he was such a bad guy, he would be an asset to Shang Tsung's team, you know? But again, I wish there was more character development. I wish there was more storyline. I do agree with you on that, Jin, but let's be honest, the fights, the fatalities, they were great. And that's where I'll cut. That's where I'll keep it at. It was a fun movie to watch. I just wish there was a little bit more story. So Zach, I'm going to let you go on to that. What's next? What would you think?
I just kind of agree with you. I mean, it was a fun movie to watch, but they could have definitely added more. I think an hour and 45 minutes is a little short for a movie.
Okay.
Especially in that kind of environment.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I think the 1995 film gave us more backstory. And I don't know if you guys saw the 1995 film Mortal Kombat. But
negative.
Okay. Well, that's something that you guys might want to watch. I remember that.
Yes.
No, I'm dead serious. It's really entertaining. It really is. It's really entertaining. But yeah, no, other than that though, yeah, where else do we go?
I don't know. You could gals? Check it out. It was a fun watch. Just don't, I wouldn't go into it with like, oh, this is going to be the best movie I've ever seen mindset.
Okay.
That would be my recommendation.
Yeah. It did smash the box office. It's at 22.5 mil right now. So, I mean, that's good standings for the first week. Maybe more. But, no, I agree with you. I really think that's a good message to put forward, is that don't fall in love with it. Now, they are saying that they are going... I mean, for how much success that they did get off of it from viewing and from, obviously, the first impact, they are thinking about actually moving forward. And I think you mentioned this with the trilogy. They are thinking of more movies in the future. Yeah, we kind of get that hint at the end. Remember where they dropped the movie poster with Johnny Cage?
Johnny Cage. Yeah.
Yep. So that might be a next story. And here's the other thing. I read an article, too. They actually are referencing that they want to add more characters into the next film. There's already talks about it. There's already talks about a project rolling out that we will have a second Mortal Kombat installment. And I think that's awesome.
Okay.
But I just hope that there's more development, more story, you know?
Doubt it. Doubt it.
So it's just going to be about the fights and the fatalities.
Yep.
Probably.
Just like the video game.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess that's where I end my spiel. Sorry about being the chatty Cathy tonight, everybody. But Jed, move on. We are going to Falcon and Winter Soldier as we conclude that series in Disney Plus.
All right, so we got the finale this week, which, like, did you guys see that, like, everybody's giving it a low score?
I saw that. I'm kind of questioning it because I don't understand it.
I don't know why.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why it's getting such flack. I thought it was great.
I thought it was great. Me too.
I'm not going to sit here and say, oh my god, it was a masterpiece. I'm not going to say that. But, I think I would.
Like, I almost, like, cried a couple times at the end. Especially when, like, Sam was, like, giving his, like, big speech. I was, like, so proud.
Well, I thought that was pretty empowering to be the next Captain America. To be the next leader. That was freaking awesome. But I'll tell you what, the part that almost made me cry was at the very end with Isaiah, you know?
Oh, yeah, that was good when he went to see him. And then, like, you know, like, he did the whole monument for him at the Captain America exhibit. That was great.
Yep. Just that hug and him shaking and crying. I mean, I'm telling you, I almost got tear-jerked there. I almost did. Yep.
Yeah, so, like, I'm going to tally up the I told you so's here, Matt, but I was right on quite a few theories here.
You were.
I was. And, like, one of the theories that I was correct on was Sharon Carter being the power broker, which I saw something very interesting this week. And, like, everybody knows who Kevin Smith is from Comic Book Men. He apparently has a theory where the villains in movies cannot use iPhones. Like, Apple doesn't let you. And then, like, an article that I read, like, went further on to, like, an interview with Rian Johnson, who, like, we know is, like, the Star Wars director, but he also did, which I've told you guys about before, Knives Out. And he says, like, right from, you know, an article with Vanity Fair, Apple, they let you use iPhones in the movies, but, and this is very pivotal, if you're ever watching a mystery movie, bad guys can't have iPhones on camera. Every single filmmaker who has a bad guy in their movie that's supposed to be a secret wants to murder me right now. That's what he said in an interview with Vanity Fair.
That's
so she doesn't use an iPhone. Mm-hmm.
She must be using Android.
Yeah, it looked like a Samsung.
Yeah.
But yeah. I just thought that was interesting that, like, you pick up on it and then, like, you think about it and, like, honestly, like, when you're watching a movie, you're not going to be like, oh, what kind of phone is that person using? Is that a cool phone? Because, like, most of the time they just CGI what's ever on the screen anyways, you know? So it doesn't matter,
what's
on the phone.
And you think something like that, that's, like, paying attention to small detail, you know?
Yeah, right? So, like, Kevin Smith, bravo, my friend. Bravo. That was friggin' genius is what was.
Yeah, when you told me about that, Jen, I was like, my God, you're onto something. My God.
Yeah, so then, like, if you go and, like, watch, because, like, and that's when I found, like, the little excerpt from Rian Johnson, and he's like, yeah, they're just not allowed to have the iPhone on camera. And I was like, get out. So, like, I guess it is, like, a fact, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is so, pretty interesting.
Sharon's the power broker.
I mean.
And then as.
Sharon.
Go ahead.
Yep. No. Keep going. Sharon's the power broker.
Okay.
Yep.
So at the end of the episode, we see that she finally gets her pardon, which, like, before, like, when they're, like, in the final fight scene, I guess, we get to see her using that, like, face technology that Black Widow used. Do you remember?
In Winter
Soldier? Yeah.
Yep.
So we got to see a nice little nod there to Black Widow, and she got her pardon, and then right at the end she's on the phone with somebody, and the internet is going crazy of who they think is on the other end of that phone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know why, but I really think it's Justin Hammer. I think it's Justin Hammer.
That is crazy.
Iron Man, if you guys don't remember.
Yep, Iron Man. Well, it would have been, hang on. That would have been the second.
He was in two.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was.
Hammer Tech.
Well, big movie. Hammer Tech, too. And I love Justin Hammer because Sam Rockwell played him.
He's fantastic.
And I love Sam Rockwell. But yeah, no, that. No, I'm dead serious. I love that prediction. I'm telling you, if that actually came true and that was the outcome, Jen, I would be like, oh, my God, that's awesome. That is so awesome to bring that into effect. And, I mean, my only thing, if you remember when I was talking to you about this, I thought maybe she was on the phone with the Skrull. Remember?
There's a lot of talk that she is herself a Skrull. But the only thing is we can't really tell because, like, we don't know what their tells are. Remember how it's like you can't do something, and that's like how you know it's a Skrull. Like Fury, he can't eat a sandwich that's cut diagonally.
Yep.
So those little details. People are thinking that she and herself might be a Skrull, but I don't know.
The only other thing that I could think of that I've researched and I saw. Well, I don't want to say I researched and I saw because this was my first thought. When she started talking about prototype weapons and these resources coming back, I mean, all I kept on thinking about was that Stark Technologies, they had a lot of this, I don't want to call it Alienware, but really, I mean, what do we call it? I mean, it's new tech, and they took this new tech to try and make new technology out of it. And the last thing I thought about was Michael Keaton's character, the Vulture, right?
Right.
And I thought maybe she was on the phone with, if it wasn't Michael Keaton's character, maybe it was somebody affiliated to his plan and his initiative of having this technology and having somebody that has already mastered it and has already been building weapons out of it. I thought maybe that was a possibility. Because they always said that somewhere down the road, we're going to have the connection of Spider-Man, Captain America come back together. You know?
I just don't see Sony giving up the rights because Sinister Six hasn't been filmed yet. That's my only, like, downfall to your theory. Is I don't see Sony giving up extra rights to promote the MCU when they've got, you know, shit coming out on their side. I just don't see ponying up for that. So, and then,
How about you, Zach?
I told
who do
you so.
Who do you think was on the phone?
I don't know. I kind of agree with Jenna.
Okay.
Justin Hammer! Another Justin I told Hammer. You so, Matt, was U.S. Agent. We got to see that reveal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I... By the way, everybody has to hear this story. So, instead of texting it, because I wrote everything down on a yellow notepad, and I knew, like, you know, when you go into episodes like this, like when you go into Winter Soldier, WandaVision, you're watching these series, we're trying to pick out Easter eggs, you know? And I said, you know what? I better just keep the pad in hand. And I was going down a bunch of things that I referenced, and Jen's like, okay, yep, okay, yep.
Check the
boxes.
And
then she's like, you're still not getting it. Checking the boxes. Yep. And then right at the very end, I said, okay, asshole. Okay. Wyatt Russell's character. All right. Mr. Walker himself. Here it is at the very friggin' end. Walks in with this black American. The black and red Captain America type suit. And that would be your speculation of U.S. Agent, right? And of course, who's there? Julia Dreyfus's character. Right, the madam that we're talking about.
Which
who
we don't
knows
know
where
if
this
she's
is going to go?
Bad yet.
Right, we don't know if she's good or bad. Exactly, there's a big question mark there. I think she's bad. I think there is a point for Hydra.
I don't know why. Right, there totally is, but like because she's a double agent in the comics though. So like, are we seeing like the secret good side of her right now? I don't know. Like, because she's supposed to be like Nick Fury.
Yep.
So,
but here's one thing I'd like to mention. I didn't see Sharon becoming the villain.
I did.
I didn't. And you know, my brother said the same thing. He's like, I saw it coming. I'm like, I wanted to play that off and I wanted to stay positive as most as possible. You know, because you know, the connection there with Cap, the connection also too with Peggy Carter.
Peggy,
you know, I feel like this is such the worst situation that you could put it into. But also, it does build the story because it's most interesting, you know, being that it is a descent of Peggy Carter, somebody who was very loyal. And at that time of Captain America fighting the good war, you know, here's the niece becoming the bad part of war, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I don't know. Go ahead.
I feel like it's just, like, you know, how many times can you be burned by your own, like, government before you just, like, completely go rogue? You know, like, because this is set in what year? How many years after the snap, the re-snap? Because, like, remember, like, she was, like, labeled a traitor all the way back in The Winter Soldier. So even before
right.
most of, like, you know, phase three, like, she's been hiding out in Europe for quite some time.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though, Jen. Think about this. You know, now that this is brought up and now that it actually is out there in the open, I'm actually thinking now, okay, here I was initially, all right? Everybody's fucking hearing me right now. I'm saying initially, okay? And, okay, I get it. Okay, there was a big connection there with her and Cap in the movie. You know, this goes back to Captain America, Winter Soldier, right? No, it wasn't Winter Soldier. Yeah. It was Civil War.
Yes.
Correct? Okay, all right, Civil War.
No, Winter Soldier, too.
Yeah, right? No, because, no, it wouldn't be Winter Soldier, because the car scene where they kissed, remember? That was Civil War.
Right, that wasn't Winter Soldier. When Fury shows up at his apartment and Sharon's spying on him, they don't know who Sharon is yet. That was Winter Soldier. So he met Sharon in Winter Soldier. Remember, she was pretending to play the nurse. Yes. Yeah. So that's when their fake relationship kind of started. He was, like, interested in her.
Yeah.
But he didn't know
that moment.
She was Sharon Carter.
Gotcha. But now that I'm kind of connecting these, like, Lego bricks. You know, how you like that? Nice reference? Lego bricks? Yeah, fuck yeah. Okay, anyway.
Right now, I don't like it pretty much. Lego can go fuck themselves.
We'll let you talk in just a second. But you know what, though? I look at this, and you know what? Now that I'm starting to think about it, do you remember the one thing I told you the other night when I said, okay, the one thing that scares me is that this lady is using mercury vapor type weapons. And we haven't seen mercury vapor type weapons since what? The use of Captain America in the first film.
Yeah, but you don't first have to film. Be Hydra to, like, militarize a chemical warfare weapon.
But Jen, think about this, though, too. Even in the movies, like, even when they went back and they tried taking the Tesseract, okay? And this is going back to when they were doing the whole time travel thing. And, you know, you got that infamous time where it's like, okay, Cap versus Cap. It's like, yeah, that's America's ass.
Yeah, and that's how Loki survives, because he steals it from...
That's how Loki survives, right. Because he's... Right, exactly. And, you know, that whole point, you know, that's where it started... That's where I started thinking, like, oh my God, there's more to this now. Now that people are actually saying this, I wish I didn't believe that there was actually positive and good vibes of Sharon. I thought she was going to be a good character. But now that she's actually proven, she could be the insider and she could be the strive of Hydra continuing. That's what I think.
So. I think Hydra's continuing. Against Hydra when it was.
But how do we know that for sure?
Soldier.
I mean, even on that elf, you know, I get that, but even though that there were, it doesn't matter. You know how conniving Hydra is.
I think that her motivations is because she got burned for so long. So then, like, you have to remember, like, she's just the power broker. She is paying people and making calls. She's not, like, you know, like Hydra and, like, getting her hands dirty. She's kind of putting the blame, like, she's taking a step back, if you will, if that makes any sense.
But what I'm trying to say is that she could be the new Hydra.
I doubt it.
If that makes sense. She could be the new revival of it.
I don't think so, but...
You don't think so? Okay, alright.
I think I kind of understand where Matt... I think Matt's trying to say that she could be in, like, her own version of a Hydra.
Yes, that's what...
I think that's what Matt's trying to say. Like, I don't think Matt's trying to say that she's gonna be like the old Hydra. I think he's
it's a revival.
It's not a revival of the old one. It's just the birth of a new one.
See, I just don't think she would do that.
In her own way.
Especially, like, you know, how she, like, stood in front of, like, the guns in Winter Soldier, like, you know, when Hydra broke through S.H.I.E.L.D., we saw that. And I just don't think she would completely turn to Hydra. Like, you know, you could be, like, a shady bitch, but I just don't see her going to Hydra. I think that's a little extreme.
Oh, she's definitely a shady bitch. I mean, there's no question about it. Now that we know at the end of that episode when she answered that phone call, to know but that she's already kind of leaked that, where it's like, yep, I got my pardon, and now I'm a fucking bad guy.
But there's, you know? I don't know, I feel like there's a difference between, like, becoming Hydra and becoming somebody that's going to screw over the government.
Do you remember the claim of Hydra? Do you remember in the first Captain America where Cap tracks down the person trying to get away in that little submarine there at the docks?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And when he pulls him out and he hits he hits himself up with the cyanide capsule.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know the direct quote here, but, like, you cut off one head, you know? What was it? What was the saying?
It's like you cut off one head and then, like, two more sprout in its place.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, it's nothing more than Hydra has that symbol of replication. Like, if we cut one off, it's going to keep replicating. And even though that it hasn't been evident throughout the years of the Captain America movies, doesn't mean that it hasn't existed. It could have been behind the scenes where they have been trying to build it up for years, now to come back and be a new entity, you know? It kind of goes back to Spider-Man. No. Go ahead.
But you haven't been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., have you?
No.
So, like, they addressed all of that in S.H.I.E.L.D. Hydra is dead. Like, so that was, like, a whole, like, couple seasons of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But how do we know that for sure?
All the Hydra people are dead? I don't know. Like, you didn't watch it, so.
I don't, but, like, how do we know that for sure, though? I mean, even though that we know that, how do we know it for sure?
Because you'd know if they were operating. Like, I feel like after what happened in Winter Soldier, some sort of infiltration like that would never, ever happen again. Because that was a big screw-up on, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s part.
You never know. That's all I'm gonna keep it at. You never know. Keep the possibility open. And again, this is just my speculation, Jen. I know what you're talking about. I mean, you're going back to other episodes of other shows and stuff like that. Like, I get it. Like, you're identifying that it is dead. It's gone. It's not there. But,
like, there's so many other organizations that Marvel hasn't touched base on yet. I feel like at this point, Hydra has been done at least one, two, three times in three separate places.
Yep.
So I just don't see it going forward.
Okay. Easter eggs. Can we identify anything else out of this episode? Like, I mean, this last episode, it brought up so much.
Yeah, my favorite Easter egg is when Bucky catches the rebar as, like, a throwback to, like, Cap in Infinity War.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yep.
Wasted. Big time, baby. Wasted.
One of my favorite Easter eggs, and I told you about this, Zach. You're gonna hear this one for the first time. When we were looking at the part where they were trying to keep the SWAT team vehicle with the officials in it. Yes. They were trying to pull that at the construction scene. And at first, it was Walker trying to pull the vehicle, but he got, obviously, infiltrated. And Captain America came in. The new Captain America, Sam. And here he is. He pulled it to a point where it saved it. And that right there was an homage to Sam Raimi's Spider-Man, where he was pulling the vehicle from the construction site to save who? Mary Jane. It was an homage because at that construction scene, after that point, when people were on the bridge, people were celebratory. They were saying, oh man, yeah, yeah, hey, hey, Spider-Man. People were celebratory about who? Captain America. That was an Easter egg. That was an Easter egg. Definitely for sure. They didn't just add that in there for just shits and giggles. I'm sorry. And you know what? I would love to search the internet. I'd love to find answers to that. But I really do think that that was a relative reference to Spider-Man.
Okay.
So, the only other one, though, is that, all right, at the end, when we had the blow-up, okay? And people were kind of questioning this. Who's the guy in the car? Who's the guy that blew up the freaking SWAT vehicle?
I think that's setting up to the next, like, organization.
But who's the guy, though? Who was the old guy?
I don't know. Do you know?
Yeah. That old guy was Zemo's partner in crime on the plane. You remember the old guy on the plane when Zemo and all of them boarded?
No.
It was the same guy.
The one that gave him the drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The same guy that was on that plane serving Sam, the Winter Soldier, I mean Bucky. I hate saying that, but I mean you have to. Bucky and Zemo, his counterpart, whoever you want to consider him to be, the butler, the assistant, whatever you want to say, he was the one in the old English car there waiting and blew up the frickin' van.
Okay.
It was the same guy on the plane. It was Zemo's assistant. That's the Easter egg.
Anything else? Yeah, I've got one more. I also think that Sam's suit is like a tribute to Steve's suit from Winter Soldier. Because, like, the collars are the same and, like, the stars in the same placement. But the only difference that, besides the colors, obviously, Steve has 3 stripes and Sam has 2. So there's been some theories floating around on the internet. And people are saying that, like, when, like, a pilot dies and they do, like, a flyby for, like, remembrance and formation, they, like, leave that space open for what would have been like that pilot's space information. And people are thinking that, so it's like he remembers Steve for like every time he like takes flight as Captain America. So I thought that was a cute, fitting tribute. And also like Bucky has done the work in his therapy and like, you know, he's fully ready to like make amends and, you know, he's doing things the right way, not the half-assed way. And like towards like, you know, the end of the episode when you see everybody like having a good time at like Sam's family's like dock and everything, like that was a good moment for me. Like Bucky shows up and he's just wearing like, you know, his t-shirt, so he's not hiding his arm in public. Like, so I think that we've definitely seen like character growth for Bucky. And, like, I really hope that there's a season 2 and we are getting a Captain America 4 now, hopefully starring Anthony Mackie and Sebastian Stan. That would be wonderful. I would also like a season 2 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That would also be nice, so they could pick up and continue on with some nice storylines that they left open there. And overall, I thought it was a pretty good watch. I think I did like it more than WandaVision.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely liked it more than WandaVision.
Okay, the only thing I want to ask you,
Jen. So does anybody have a...
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, one more thing before we conclude. I remember us talking about this. Okay? You said that when Bucky... Remember when Sam thought, okay, he's hitting on my sister? Remember this?
Sarah.
Remember the conversation?
Yeah, okay. So... Yes, and
I want you. I want you to explain this because this was so cool.
I will. So I don't remember which episode it was, but it's the first time when Bucky shows up in Louisiana with Sam's family, and Sam's sister introduces herself, and okay, and she says her name is Sarah. So and Sam thinks that Bucky is flirting with his sister because he's like, oh, hi, Sarah. But actually, if you go back and rewatch The Winter Soldier, when Steve is talking to Bucky for the first time after, you know, they get him back, he says, which one am I talking to? And Bucky's answer is, your mom's name was Sarah. You used to put newspaper in your shoes. So Bucky was just happy to hear that her name was Sarah. He wasn't necessarily flirting with her, but it just reminded him of, like, you know, that first step forward with, you know, coming back to himself, like, because Steve helped him.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I do love that. That's why I wanted you to say that. I wanted you to explain that in the worst way. You know? Because yeah, I think so that's important. That I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, no, I really do. I think that's... Right. And, I mean, I go to that because, you know, I think of a song by Elvis Costello. Like, Allison... Allison was a song written by Elvis Costello, obviously. And, you know, it was such a memorable part about this person that he wrote a song about and how big of an impact it was to him and his life. And, you know, when you go to this where Bucky, you know, he was at a point where I think he was he confined at that point? Was he confined, right? When he said about Sarah, like, Sarah was the name of your mother, right? I thought about that.
That was at, like, the gym. Right. Like, do you remember before Civil War happened? That was, like, the
extended
scene. Like, the credit scene, sorry. Yeah, yes. To set up Civil War. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so that's where I thought it was, like, yep. So I thought that was, man, that was awesome. It really was. But yeah, so other overall, than that, though, I don't have anything else to go. Season. I mean, me too.
Zach, any last remarks from you, sir?
About that or just anything just in general? Anything.
Yeah, before we kill the episode here for tonight.
Okay, well, I have three words and it could lead into a topic for next episode. Maybe the one after that. And those three words are, fuck you, Lego.
I knew it.
Okay.
Yeah, we could definitely touch base on that in the next episode.
That's all I have.
Okay. Matt, any last words?
Yep.
I got nothing.
All right, so I'm going to officially cut us off for the night here. We're going to drop the curtain. And thanks, everybody, for joining us for the conclusion of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And we will be back again next week. And remember to follow us on social media or email us any questions. And thanks, everybody. Have a great night. A little bit of
With a high and a piccolo and a